Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Pastor Don brings us God's message this morning from the book of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 8. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Thanks be to God for his word. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the blessings of knowing a God who is eternal. We think of Psalm 90, where Moses wrote, "From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And I'm thankful that between the two everlastings, between eternity past and eternity future, you entered into the human race as a man when you sent your Son, your only Son, whom you love, come into the world to become a man, to live among us, to be born in Bethlehem, to live a sinless life, to die on a cross, to rise from the dead, and to now be ascended at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. Pray that as we spend this time looking at some very familiar portions of Scripture and thinking about when he came, that we might not just see him as the babe in the manger, but as the God-man who lived among us and who would die for us. Help us not forget why he came. Help us to understand some of the things here and maybe see them like we have never seen them before. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus our attention. You can read the introduction if you want to, but there's really... the point is, there were a bunch of people that did not seek him. There were two groups that did. The shepherds, who we are not looking at this morning, and the what we call the wise men, the magi, who show up after Jesus is born. And you'll see right at the beginning, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, this is what happened. And they came later. They didn't come right at the same time that at Jesus' birth. They came later. But the point is, they did seek him out. They came from a long way and they sought him out. However, there was a bunch of people that you think would seek him out. One of them being Herod, who calls himself the king of the Jews. Others being the spiritual leaders of the day, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You would think they would seek him out, and they did not. So we're going to look at the wise men who sought him, the first part, 1 and 2, and then we're going to talk about those who did not seek him out, verses 6, 3 through 6. The wise men sought him, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, that's Herod the Great, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Like Luke, Matthew starts out wanting us to see this visually. He wants us to think in our head and see in our head these guys coming up to Jerusalem. And they came to the logical place. They saw a star in the east and they followed that star. And they came to the place where you think you'd find the king of the Jews, right? The baby born king of the Jews. Wouldn't he be in the palace of the king? No, he wasn't. So they show up and they ask that very important question that causes a chain reaction of things. But anyway, in his approach, in Matthew's approach, he totally avoids the shepherds. That doesn't mean he didn't like them. It means he didn't choose to center on them, probably because Luke was centering on them. So Luke tells us about the shepherds, and Matthew tells us about the wise men, the magi. There's been much speculation about who these guys were. We don't know. The biggest thing you need to understand is that a lot of things we don't know about these guys. The word that's used for them in the Bible is the word magoi, which is the plural Greek word for magi. Magi is an Anglicization. How you say that? Where you use the English instead of that. But there's much written about them because that word means wizards, magicians, astrologers, or astronomers. There is a difference between astrology and astronomy. Astronomy studies the stars in heaven to learn about the stars in heaven. Astrology assumes that the stars rule our lives, and so they look for insight from the stars for that. But anyway, that's the name. And they came from the east, and the truth is we don't know where the east is. Though there's a lot of speculation, and a lot of it makes pretty good sense. You find this idea of these guys in a passage in Daniel, which talks about the Babylonians. In Daniel 2, 2 and 10, we read these words. The king, this is when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, remember? The king gave the command to all the magicians and the astrologers the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood and before the king and said, you know, tell us, and he didn't. And then later they said the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth. This is a lie, by the way, because Daniel was on earth at that time, and he's interpreting that dream in a little bit here in the book of Daniel. But there's not a man on earth who can tell the king this matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any, now watch this list, magicians, astrologers, or Chaldeans. That's kind of the same idea that we find here. Now, of course, that's all in either Hebrew or Aramaic because it's in Daniel. But Kittle, who wrote one of the best thought of sets of 10 volumes, well, he edited it, of Greek word studies, if you wonder what Kittle is. And this is what he said about it. There is no mention of... There's no means of determining who the magi of Matthew 2, 1, and 7, and 10, and 16 are specifically. Babylonian or whatever, astrologers or astronomers. In general, therefore, the former is more likely since it is only in Babylon by contact with the Jews there, the exiles there, that they could have learned about that. Now, the second mystery, which is Kittle answers also, is where did they get this information about the Jews expecting a special birth? Now, you need to realize, and I'm going to talk about that probably maybe a little bit later, but there are times in the history of Israel where there was a rampant expectation of messianic fulfillment, just like there's times in the history of the church where there's a rampant expectation of the return of Christ. If you read Jewish history, not in the Bible, but from the Jewish sources that happened at that time and some of the history sources, you're going to find out right about the time of Christ, it was rampant. One of the things you remember that Pilate had to deal with was there were all these people running around raising armies and trying to throw off the Roman rule, saying they were the Messiah, and got a lot of people killed and a lot of people in trouble. And they weren't the Messiah. So it was rampant. In fact, the Jews tried to slow it down when they, after Jesus was crucified, because there were people still looking for the Messiah to come right then. And so it was a very rampant thing. You need to know that to understand some of the reaction that we have here. It's hard to be especially, it had to be a hardly, especially rude awakening when they showed up at the temple or at the palace and said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" Because that was Herod's favorite term. Herod had become king in 37 B.C., and he died about 4 B.C. But anyway, he was Herod the Great. And Herod the Great, when he became king, because it was the Romans that made him king, he decided he was king of the Jews, even though he wasn't Jewish. Did you know that? Herod was a Edomite. That means he was a son of Esau. And he was from a people that had moved from Edom in the lower part of Judah in the intertestamental period. They were called Idumeans. And he was one of them. And he never was a Jew. Always wanted to be identified like he was a Jew. Was frequently very nice to the Jews and sometimes very cruel to the Jews. He was a lunatic, really. But anyway, that was his term. And so when they said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" That's like an insult. "I'm the king of the Jews." You know? Well, we're looking for a different guy. But anyway, that was the problem. So those who did not seek him, that's where you start out. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I think that's an amazing statement. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now, those are the chief priests were basically the Sadducees, and the scribes are basically the Pharisees of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, now this is, they knew this, right off the top of their head almost, they knew this, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for it is written," it's what's been written in by the prophet, and the prophet is Micah, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are not the least, by any means the least among the leaders of Israel, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd the people of Israel." So that's the promise, and it was there. Now, as you look at this, you realize these people are different people. The first one is the king, King Herod. King Herod was a guy, we read of him in verse 3, when Herod heard this, the king heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. So we talk about Herod, and that second point is all about some of the history of people he put to death. It is not the complete catalog by any stretch of the imagination. The man was a just flat-out lunatic, and you need to know that. But Herod was so full of himself that he had no room for the Lord, and he had no room for anybody that would claim his claim. That's why he killed all the babies in chapter 16, or verse 16 of chapter 2, killed all the babies around Bethlehem. 2 years old and younger, according to when they saw the star. It took them 2 years to get to the Jerusalem. They saw the star in the east, and Herod assumed, might be a good assumption, that Jesus was born when the star came out. And so therefore, Jesus would be 2 years old. So he killed all the babies 2 years old and under to make sure he got the one who was supposedly the Messiah. Of course, by that time, God had warned Joseph, and he had taken them to Egypt. You know the story of that. But anyway, Herod had no room for Jesus. He didn't want him. And there's surely a lot of people today that would fall into the same place. I wonder if we are among those who have given Jesus his rightful place in our lives. Verse 3 talks about when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, it's really interesting because you read the commentators, a lot of them, and they'll say, well, you know, Herod was an especially bad king. He really was. And he would do things that were irrational. He just would fly off. So one minute he was very nice to Jews, next minute he got put a lot of them to death. I mean, the guy was a nut. And so you couldn't count on. So if he was troubled, Jerusalem would be troubled too. And so they say that's what that means. But I think this is more than that, because you realize nobody from Jerusalem went to find Jesus. I think that indicates there were other things that happened. Now, I want to make this realistic to you. So I'm going to use an illustration. It may not hit you at first, but you need to get this. You see, those people were waiting for the advent of a Messiah that they had heard prophesied for centuries. Messiah's coming. He's going to come. And they were people running around like people back in, well, in our present day, in the early years that I started the ministry, and people before them, almost every century of the church, there's been somebody running around and said, Lord's coming back, you know, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand, the Lord is coming back. He's coming back. He is, one of these days. But the point is, just like we're looking for him coming back the second time, they were looking for him to come the first time. So let me make a parallel between those two appearances of Christ. He's coming, Messiah's coming. Well, all of a sudden somebody shows up at the palace and says, where's he born King of the Jews? Well, it means he's come. So how do you respond to that? Well, the religious leaders really didn't care. They didn't want him. Now, this is not a normal everyday occurrence. This is people who come from the east who said they saw his star in the east and they knew he was born. And this was so real even to Herod that he had all those babies killed. Only probably 30 or 40, because it was a very small town, Bethlehem was. But anyway, the point is, that scared Herod, and it scared a lot of the people of Jerusalem, because they had their whole life all planned out. They didn't want it interrupted by God. Didn't want it interrupted by the coming of it. Now, I remember when I was a kid, my mother took me around to all these meetings because she's pretty sure I wasn't saved, and I was. But yeah, I heard so many evangelists. And one of the favorite things they did in that day and age is they would go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17, which talks about the return of the Lord. You know, the Lord shall descend with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we remain will be gathered up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And they would take that and roll it up like a newspaper and beat us with it. I mean, those evangelists would hit us really hard. It was like the most. Took me many years before I read the 18th verse. 18th verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's not meant to be rolled up as a newspaper and hit you. But the point is, as terrified as we were, as troubled as we were, to hear the Lord might be coming back today is what these guys were. So I want you to put yourself in their sandals. Remember, what if the Lord sent a prophet today, an Isaiah, that we knew he was Isaiah when he walked in the door. You knew that everything he said was true. And he said, 10 o'clock tomorrow, the Lord's coming back. How would you react? Probably like we did in the 60s and 70s. We'd be terrified out of our minds. Because frankly, there were some things that we hadn't dealt with yet. Well, the first thing you do is deal with them, because he's coming back. And when he comes back, nobody's going to stop him. And he's coming back. He might come back today. He might come back in the next 5 minutes before the baptism. He might come back in the next 30 seconds. He might come back in the next 20 years. We don't know when he's coming, but he's coming. So we need to be ready. That's the point of that. But I don't think it's unusual for people to be terrified by that statement or by the fact that he was there. I think if I were in their sandals, I'd be pretty scared too, wouldn't you? But I don't know. I would like to think that I would go and find out where he was. Go look for him. Because this is very clear. Then you know the next thing when you come to these guys, the other ones that should have sought him. And these guys, I think, are the most culpable. That means they're the most responsible. They were the guys that should have known. When Herod came to them and said, where is he born? Where is he going to be born? They said, oh, well, we know that. You know, that's like theology 101. That's one of those questions and answers that you had to ask yourself a lot of times. And all those guys were scribes and the chief priests. They all knew this. It was in the Bible. It was written by a guy, a prophet named Micah, many, many centuries before Micah 5:2. And they told him where he was going to be born. As soon as he asked him, 4 through 6, I don't think they had to go away and look. And when he, that's Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, these are the biblical experts of the day, he inquired of them where the Christ was supposed to be born. Now, the Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one, which is Hebrew for anointed one is Messiah. Greek for the anointed one is Christos, Christ. So Christ, where was Christ going to be born? So they said, that's the chief scribes, the chief priests and the scribes, and which were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's, of course, a little bit of a change. That's kind of a paraphrase in the Greek. But I'm sure they quoted to him about word perfect when they told Herod that. But the thing you get is this group didn't do anything about that. They knew where he was coming. I think they anticipated when he was coming because it was rampant. Everybody was looking for the Messiah. I mean, there were guys running around like 88 reasons why you ought to believe that Jesus came back in 1988 and predicting dates like 1994 and all those other dates that we used to hear about. And the fact is, that's what they were doing. He's going to come. He's coming. He's coming about here. And everybody claimed to be the Messiah that weren't. Jesus did come. He was the Messiah. Nobody of those guys went to see him. Do you know who, the shepherds were first. You know who shepherds were? I always think this is interesting. In Israel, shepherds were nobodies. You couldn't testify in court if you were a shepherd. I understand because the shepherds sometimes frequently had problems with knowing what was mine and what was thine. In other words, they helped themselves to stuff. The other reason was they were always out tending their sheep. So they couldn't go to synagogue and they couldn't go to the temple. They couldn't. So a lot of times the sheep they were tending went to the temple to be a sacrifice. They couldn't do that. So the shepherds were basically nobodies. God announced his son. What I call the divine press release. The angel appeared to them and said, behold, you have great news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it was like, wow. Can you imagine being a shepherd? Now you got these guys. We have no idea where these guys are from. They're probably from Babylon. I think it's a pretty good speculation that they heard about an anticipated Messiah from the exiles that didn't go back originally after the 70 years of exile. And they're talking about, well, the Messiah's coming. I'm sure they got caught up in some of the fervor of this messianic anticipation. You know, Messiah must be coming. He ought to be here today. This might be it. And so they come and they saw that star and they said, that's got to be his birth star. So they came. That is not a short trip, by the way. They came and they came to find out where he was and they didn't. The people that should have gone didn't go, but these people did. By the way, to show you the messianic and fervor they were in, do you remember when John the Baptist, this is in the book of John, when John the Baptist, there was this group that came out from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came and they met John to find out what, because John going around baptizing people. And they said to him, who are you? And I truncated this. I took some of the quote because I don't want to read the whole thing to you. But this was his answer. Now, I love the way this is put, by the way, but now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed, I love this statement, he confessed and did not deny. That's a strong statement. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And his next breath was to deny he was the prophet. It was going to be the one that was like Moses, which again was the Lord Jesus Christ, so they didn't realize that in their own interpretation of the Old Testament. But that was true. He was not that. He was just a voice crying in the wilderness. Add to this that these strangers were from the east, show up to ask that question, where is he born king of the Jews? And you can understand how that wreaks some havoc. Even though they knew where he was, they did not go looking for him. They would not see if he was found. How about us? See, the problem they had is they had their own system of theology. I think about this because I've spent my life as a pastor and studied a lot of theology and a lot of the Bible and stuff, and I wonder how much we think we're right and we're not. But I'm not trying to make you doubt what the Bible says at all, but I think about the fact that sometimes these guys had their own system, and they had a very well-developed, very complicated system that included a lot of, quote, oral tradition, 613 commands, positive and negative, that supposedly kept the law. The Pharisees had that. They had no room for the living God. They had no room for the God that saved them, the God who wrote the Bible, the God that created the law that they put into that form. They had no use for him at all because they didn't want him. I wonder how much we want him in our lives. That's why I want you to think about, well, what if this was somebody came in today that we recognized was a prophet? Somehow we would recognize that divinely. He walks through the door and says, you need to know that tomorrow, 10 o'clock, the Lord's coming back. What would you do? You'd be right where they are. You know, that's what they did. They didn't want to look for him. They didn't want any part of the living God in their system. How about us? We know some things about how our Lord came the first time, but do we know him? That's the question. We know him as our Savior. Have we sought him out? Have we put our faith in him to save us? Is he our Lord and Savior? That's a good question. We need to have that. May we not be guilty of the sin of the scribes and the religious leaders? Help us to always be willing to look him out. Now, here's something I think you need to think about. So, beloved, if someone were to walk up to you and ask, where is he who is born King of the Jews? Where is this Jesus today? You say, well, he's in heaven. But you know what you can say? You can say, I know he's alive, I know he's well, because he's in my heart. I used to have, when I wore badges, instead of trying to live it in my life, when I first started to want to really serve the Lord zealously, I had this button that said, you know, I know God's real because I talked to him this morning. And that's true. I can still tell you that's true. I know God's real because I talked to him this morning. Have you? Is he a big part of your life? You know, this is so, so familiar to us. But do we understand that we are really living in the same kind of situation, looking for the coming of a Messiah? And how would we react if he were coming today? Or if somebody can, you know, he came back. Somebody who is authoritative. Now, I did have a guy one time in a church come to me and tell me he was John the Baptist and Jesus was on earth. That guy died shortly after that with a brain tumor, which is probably why he thought he was John the Baptist. But I'm not talking about a nut like that. I'm talking about somebody you know who you can trust, somebody that you divinely, you know. If Isaiah were to walk in dressed like Isaiah and act like Isaiah and we suddenly knew he was Isaiah. I always think of the Mount of, I don't know what if you understand what I'm talking about. But you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus went up there with his disciples and there appeared Moses and Elijah, right? I think Moses and Elijah. And they're standing on the mount with Jesus. How did he know they were? How did they know he was Moses and Elijah? Did they have pictures in their Old Testament? Don't think so. Did they have posted, you know, the notes on my, hey, stupid, I'm Moses, and I'm with dummy, you know? No, I don't think he did. I think they knew because they knew. What if something like that happened? Isaiah walked in here, and you knew because you knew that he was Isaiah, and everything he said would come to pass, and he said he's coming. He's here. How would you feel? That's what those guys were going through. So I think we can identify with that. So if somebody says to you, where is he born in the King of the Jews? Well, he's living in my heart. And I can tell you how he can be living in yours. How the Spirit of God can be living in you. How you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be rightly related with God and spend eternity with him. Should be willing to do that. Let's pray. Then we're going to sing, Have You Any Room for Jesus? Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have of having a Savior who died for us, came into the world, was born as a baby, lived a sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin that we might be forgiven in him. Thank you that he rose from the dead, now sits at your right hand, ever making intercession for us. Pray that you bless us as we sing the hymn and as we go out, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 320.